introduction on ITS. I think most of you know our organization by now. And you will know that we are a public-private partnership, which includes a lot of actors, basically across the three policy levels in Belgium. That means urban, regional, and the federal level. And as you can see, also a lot of private actors. Kurt was also going to quickly take you through our priority areas. You will not be surprised that our key priority area is mass and multimodality. It is in this context that we are actually organizing this workshop on interoperable ticketing and payment. We have also, as many people know, an action plan for each key area, including mass. And so you can see that here ticketing and payment and interoperable ticketing and payment are actually part of the technical enablers. Our speakers of today, apart from me, as you have seen in the agenda, are Bernardina Perenboom of De Lijn, Michel Genot of STIP, and Renaud Terry of TEC. So it will be great to hear from them the latest on internal developments. I was just, as a short introduction, going to take you through two elements. The first is that for us, interoperable ticketing and payment is, of course, crucial. This is a slide and a visual that we borrowed from our colleague Pierre-Paul Berthiaud, who's also on the call, where you can see that indeed the evolution that we see today is an evolution towards account-based ticketing, where everything will be in the backend, as you know, and moving on to mass, the world known as Netflix, for transportation and mobilities for us on that roadmap that we exist. And last but not least, I wanted to conclude my introduction by taking you very quickly through what we did actually last year. Then you can see with us also what fantastic progress have been made in the last year. During last workshop, you will remember that we noticed, of course, that the different public transport operators are all evolving towards a common user experience, also experimenting with different technologies that are, however, converging, as we can see. It's clear that at that time, so about a year ago, all indicated that they were looking at EMV, some operators are actively planning to introduce it. We know, of course, that all are opening their ticketing APIs. We are following the standardization that is taking place, moving to full digital offers, which is, of course, very interesting from a mass context. And we also, of course, find it interesting to see what exists. That is, for instance, the MOBIP platform and BMC. That offers, I think, some great opportunities also for cooperation. So we at that time indicated that we are sensitive for harmonized contracts towards the public transport, between public transport operators and the different mass providers. And last but not least, it is quite clear, and in a way, this webinar is an example of that, that a common, let's say, platform, where in a public and private context, exchanges and expectations can be exchanged is probably the best move forward. So this was my short introduction. I am moving forward to the first presentation of today. And that presentation, as mentioned, is a presentation of De Lijn, and more specifically, Bernardina will take us through the EMV project at De Lijn. So with apologies for the few hiccups that you might have encountered, I will now give the floor to Bernardina. Bernardina, please.
Thank you, Peter, and good morning, everyone. So I'm Bernardina Pirboom. I'm product manager at De Laine. I joined De Laine October last year. And one of the projects I'm working on is contactless payment, where Tom Geerts took the lead and introduced me into the business side of contactless payments. I'm very happy to be able to introduce contactless payments and the status where we are today. I have two topics to discuss. The first is contactless payment, and the second is a new open M suppliers agreement. Peter, is it possible that I can scroll myself?
I think so.
You try it?
Yes. Okay. Let me see. Yes, with some delay. So there are two topics, the update on contactless payment and second, our new agreement for M suppliers. So I will start with contactless payments. Where are we today? So I'm happy to announce that as of the 25th of May, all trams of De Laine support contactless payment. So we started contactless payment really as a pilot on our trams at the coast on the April 6th. Then we rolled out the trams in Ghent on May 18th. And as of the May 25th, all the trams in Antwerp and a bus in Tiltwinga also support contactless payment. Why do we start with the trams? They have multiple terminals. So they have three terminals on the vehicles. And because of Corona, the first door and the driver are no longer accessible for the travelers. So the trams do allow our travelers to use contactless payments because Terminal 2 and 3 allowed it. I see the slide has moved. I would like to... Well, thanks. So now all the trams have contactless payments. We used different use cases during this pilot. So we tested all cards that have a credit or debit in the MasterCard or Visa scheme. We also support other MIA such as payment applications such as Google Pay and Apple Pay, and even wearables such as a Fitbit or Garmin that emulate a contactless card can be used and are tested during the pilot. Next to Happy Flows, such as a traveler who has a sufficient balance on the card, is tested, but also on Happy Flows. If a traveler will try to use contactless payments without sufficient funds, we see the flow and how it goes. So all the flows are being tested. We test end-to-end to see really if all the funds are correctly going through the banks and ending up at De Laine. We also tested with MasterCard and Visa, and there are three MAS operators who have MasterCard or Visa schemes on their cards that also tested and tested positive. So they are also applicable for the contactless payments on our trams. Next to the contactless payment terminals, we also have an online customer portal. Travelers can use this portal to check the travel history, which travels they did. They can settle an open debt. If, for instance, they don't have sufficient funds at the first time they take a trip, they can settle their debt manually next to an automatic debt settlement. And they can also download and print a proof of payment, which in some cases is needed for an employer. On the next slide, I have just a quick overview of the portal and what you can do with the portal. I think Peter or Kurt, maybe you are in the slides. Otherwise, I'll just say next slide. Maybe that's easier. Or I'll take my presentation and share it with you guys.
I'm back, so I can manage it for you if you want.
Okay, yes, because I don't have the rights to share my screen, so
second. Okay, sorry for that. Am I on the right slide?
Yeah, just I think two more slides previous. Yes, so this is just some examples of the customer portal. So this is an example of how travelers can check their trips that they made, whether it was a first trip or a transfer, because transfers aren't charged. We have a flat fare of €2.50, which a traveler can use for 60 minutes of travels and complete their journey if they are already on the vehicle. If he transfers within the 60 minutes, he has to present his card again, has to do a tap, and it's marked as a transfer and it will not be charged. So these are details that a customer can check himself on the customer portal. On the next slide, you see an example of the payment overviews. So the amount that is paid, there's a button view receipt. So if the customer would like to have a payment, a proof of payment or a payment receipt, he can download it from this portal. And on the next slide is just an example to show if a traveler has an outstanding debt, he can use the portal to settle it manually. So these are just some examples. If you would like to check out the portal yourself, I can always give some references to log in. So maybe that's just one thing I can add to this portal, that there are two ways to log in as a customer. One is using your card number and validation date of your card, and the other is the payment reference that is issued on your bank statements. The second way to log in with a payment reference allows our customer relations or people at the stores of the LAN to help customers to log in and view with them without asking card numbers. So it's really important that a traveler never has to give his card number to one of our colleagues. So on the next slide, I would just like to give some information on how we went about communication. So we really found it important to keep our stakeholders in the loop throughout this whole project. Banks and MaaS operators, the card schemes, they were all included and communicated with during the testing. There were monthly marketing and technical meetings with MEVB and the banks and the card schemes. And we had some meetings to align customer support so that the customer support of the banks and MEVB and the LAN are all aligned in how we help the customer when there are questions regarding contactless payments. For our customers, we did some qualitative research regarding their sentiments on contactless payment before we rolled out and to adjust also our communication towards them. But because of Corona now, we see that contactless payment is becoming more and more inhabited in Belgium. So that's a positive thing for our project. We also have a website, a page dedicated to contactless payment, informing our customers how it works and FAQs specifically concerning this way of payment. We adapt them regularly based on the feedback we get from customer support. We issued a press release on the 25th of May, and we foresee a big media campaign once we fully roll out our contactless payments also on our buses. On the next slide, we can see some, let's say some first statistics from 30 days of paying taps. So these are taps that were issued between the 25th of April and the 24th of May. And as you can see from the 18th of May, where the trams in Ghent went live, we see an increase in the amount of taps that were made, but it's still, of course, very little. We expect them to increase in the future. But what we can see from statistics is that 8% of the used cards had insufficient funds. So that's just to give an idea that 8% of the travelers didn't have sufficient funds to take a trip with the LAN. We also see that 15% of the taps that were made are anti-passback. Anti-passback is a way of declaring that a traveler would like to pay twice with the same medium. So it's impossible to use one medium and to tap twice and to pay two trips. So these are not decisions that the LAN made, but these are security decisions that we have to abide. But we see that for travelers, it's very intuitive to tap twice and thinking that they can buy two trips with the same medium. So we keep stressing during our communication towards travelers that they have to use different media for different people. But as you can see, 15% is a high percentage. It's also because our tap base in amount is very little. So if someone tries four times, of course, it will increase the percentage. We expect it to decrease in the coming months. And we had one invalid card, meaning that there was one person who had a card that supports contactless payment, but the function was enabled or disabled. So these are some first very preliminary statistics that we see from the taps that are made on our coast trams and the trams in Ghent. On the next slide, I would like to show you where we are today and what the next steps are. So as I told you, we are now live on all the trams in Flanders. We started with our supplier Conduent in December 2018. So we made quite a progress in a short amount of time. And we are now on the brink of fully rolling out towards all the buses. So we use this time, this pilot on our trams, to have maximal learning, to make sure that we have stable and operational integrations, and that our internal processes are also operational. At the same time, we are preparing the vehicles, all our buses. And we have a go-no-go meeting end of this month to decide whether contactless payment is ready for all the buses. However, the really go-live date depends on the release of the front doors and the availability of the EMV terminal. So as I said, because of Corona, we have a protective sheet that divides the driver and the terminal on our buses from the travelers. So in this case, travelers are unable to reach the CMV terminal on our buses. So we decide that we want to be ready. And as soon as the measures around Corona are adapted, we will be able to allow travelers to use that terminal on the buses. So it's really depending on the measures around Corona that we can talk about a full life of a full go live on our complete network. The next steps after CNV are, of course, account-based ticketing. The date preliminary is foreseen on 2022. But as I will mention in a few slides, that doesn't mean that we're not already working on accounting and account-based ticketing in the more near future. So this is CMV. For the next point, next slide, I would like to talk about the new OpenM ticketing agreement. Very shortly, I can just give you an update there. So on the next slide, you can see that we are currently working on a new OpenM ticketing participation agreement. It will be issued during this year. And there will be a transition period in which the M suppliers can choose on which agreement they work. So we will issue the new agreement during this year. And after the transition period, this new agreement will be the only valid agreement. And I give you a few draft points on this new agreement, which is on the next slide. So the most important thing is that we want our tickets to be nominative. So name, email, and a unique user ID are very important because that will improve the possibilities for controlling, but also prevention of fraud. But it will also improve customer support possibilities. If we know our consumer, if we know his or her habits, we can offer better customer support. And it will allow us to have a standard solution that's reusable for other applications. For example, if an event organizer wants to sell a combination ticket of an entry ticket, including transport with the LAN, if it's already nominative, this would be easier to apply and to reuse. There are other points for this agreement that are still in research. but it would also entail the extending of our product offers via M suppliers. For the moment, we only have an M ticket and an M card 10, but we would like to extend the offer, for example, M day pass, etc. Next to that, we really want to invite our travelers to open a travel account at the LAN so that they will receive better access to customer support. For example, if they need a certificate, if a trip is unrendered or tardy. And this would allow us as well to make this personalized service available through the M suppliers. For instance, if we know the route our customer is taking daily, we can give real-time detour information for that route through the M suppliers. So those are the points that we are investigating right now and that will be taken up in the new Open M Supplier Agreement. So these are the points for the LAN. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate. I will try to answer them, and if not, I will ask my colleagues and get back to you.
Thank you very much, Dean. I have suggested via the chat that people that have questions to Dean would use the chat, and I see some first questions coming through, Dean. Maybe you can look at them as well. So first question is from Raphael. When will the subscriptions be supported?
As the subscriptions abonnees, yes. So that I will have to ask my colleagues, but I will note all the questions down. I'll make sure that we have assembled a response for that.
Yes, we invite in the meanwhile, of course, more questions. I should apologize. Normally when Kurt does the introduction, then he makes it very clear to people that we will use the chat for questions. Okay. So as I speak, yes. I'm looking at the chat. I have a quick one, Dean, that is on capping. The fact that if people use make many single trips a day, that in mm-hmm. some moments it is possible at some points to cap the trips. Also, mass providers mm-hmm. are keen on this feature. I thought this is possible, but not yet implemented, right?
Yes. So the way we've set up our contactless payment with our supplier Convent for the moment is that for the go live, it's not possible yet, but we foresee it as a CMV plus go live end of this year. Technically, it's possible to do capping. It's foreseen in the agreement with our supplier. However, it has to be seen in the bigger scheme of account-based ticketing and how we foresee that possibility. The capping, do we do it through CMV or do we see it as an integrated part of account-based ticketing? So yes, technically it will be possible end of this year, but the way we will implement it is still to be foreseen.
I think one last question popping up, Dean. I propose that after every presentation, we foresee room for one or two questions. Of course, towards the end of the webinar, there will be more time and room for questions. Mm-hmm. So combined travel, can you take that one?
So combined as in different operators for the moment, not. So contactless payment for the moment is for the LAN. There are examples where we use the system of MOBIP for interoperable operational products. But for CMV for the moment, it's foreseen only for the LAN.
Right. Quite clear. So in the meanwhile, I think we can prepare to move on to the next presentation. Dean, thank you very much. It's obviously a big step forward for the LAN. So I think we're all excited to see full rollout shortly. And it's also very exciting for us to have all four operators with us today. Thank you for sharing as well the new draft agreement. As you know, we find it actually quite wonderful that the different operators can take their initiative and innovate. And in the same time, we of course hope that best practices will be harmonized and that as much as possible, we at some point will also have a harmonized contracts towards the operators. So without further ado, I will hand the floor now to the second speaker of today, which is Michel Genot of the STIP. Michel, I heard you before. Are you okay to take over?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay, then the floor is yours.
Thank you, Peter. Hello, everybody. So my name is Michel Genot. I'm AFC, donc the ticketing department manager, and I will present very shortly the statue of the EMV project. Next slide, please. Okay, so just a brief resume of the scope of the project. So the platform will support debit and credit cards and will support the following card scheme: Bancontact, MasterCard, and Visa. And we'll also support electronic purse like Apple and Google Pay, and also the app application on mobile. So the tariff will be available. It's the one trip is 2.1 euro, similar as the current jump Mobip on the Mobip on the TSC. And we also support the capping for one day. And we will introduce a big change. It's a trip coming from the airport, calling Go to City at 7 euro. But in compensation, all the people who will use the EMV to go to the airport will pay only 2.1. So it will be a standard price. And we will extend this vision to Mobip also. So that's going to be a main change in the tariff. So all the standard tariff will allow the client to go to the airport. But if he wants to come from the airport to the city, he has to pay an extra charge of 7 euro. Okay, so the EMV will be available on all the mode, bus, tram, and metro. Next slide. So some specific functionality. We guess coming from the deployment of DMV. So this is also new. All those four vehicles will be equipped both with EMV and Mobip validator. That was not the case for the Mobip today. But we're going to extend, so all those will be equipped with EMV and Mobip validator, except for a few buses, all bus, where technically it's not possible. Clients will have also access to a website where they can register and they can check their consumption. We will have also a control equipment, inspection device, that will be able for the inspection team to control the client. And the current penalty that is available for Mobip will be applied for EMV. Next slide. So, thank you. So just a brief resume for the client experience. So for the clients, they don't need to buy in advance. They just need to have his card or his mobile with his app, bank app or electronic purse like Google Pay or Apple Pay. And he just need to tap on the validator. So no need to register before to use EMV. So it's simple, fast, and secure. Okay, so the group of people we are aiming by using EMV is tourists, occasional travel, or people who are in a hurry and don't want to purchase a Mobip ticket to a TSC. So the system is not supporting the multi-tap, so it's mean one card, one tap, one client. Okay, so the intention of the EMV is just to add a new channel, and not to replace the Mobip card, which have, from our point of view, still have a long life in front of us, at least for the 5 to 10 next year. That is also proved by what's happening in London. They issue a very interesting report proving that the Oyster card will stay for at least 5 to 10 next year, for the tech next year. Okay, next slide. So we have two types of validator. One validator for the metro gate, which is on the top of the metro gate. And we have another type of validator in the vehicle, like you can see on the picture. Next slide. So just to give you a very short presentation of the screen. So we will have a welcome screen that is blue, and we will have okay screen. I mean, when you validate and your card is accepted, and when you have an issue with your card because you may be on the deny list or your card is not accepted, for example, American card or the type of card that is not accepted by the system, you will have a red screen. Next one. So this is a view on the customer web portal. So where people can have to be registered first to see the validation, and you can see that it is an extract from a client that is his card, and you can see the use of the validation on the network. So you can see today it's 0.1 euro for the transaction because we are still on POC. And the transaction is only 10 cents only for the moment. Next one. So like I say, since last October, the system is fully in operational in production. So we are in POC phase. To be part of POC phase, you have to be registered. We have opened the system to different organizations like banks, European administration. We asked them to have some of their clients who want to use the system. And we have around 300 people are using the system, but of course, due to the COVID impact, for the moment, the use is very slow. So the new phase are planned in June 30, end of this month. So we are going to open the system, freely. It means we stop the register and we're going to open it freely on June 30. So it means everyone want to use it can use the system. But we're not going to make a public announcement. We believe we're going to do that for September with marketing, advertising, advertising, etc. For the moment, we want to have we want just to test if the load of the system and if we can support the new functionality we are implementing for the moment in the new release. Okay, next one. So it is the overview of the planning. So we can see that in June, all the vehicle will be equipped. All the station will be also equipped by the 15th or by mid of June. Inspection device will be ready by end of June. We are testing two new release for the moment. In May and June is the release 13.2, for the moment all the results are quite positive. In June the only MasterCard and Visa will be available, like Apple Pay and Google Pay. Bancontact took some delay. And it's for that we plan to have a public opening on the EMV project, on the EMV system in September, due to the difficulties of communication between our different suppliers and Bancontact. It's not, nothing to do with bank contact. It's a question of communication due to COVID. And we took some delay, and we will have the production in test in July. This is why we're going to have a full public launch in September. We have also starting this month all the training for the different team that will be in contact directly or indirect with EMV. As you know, that it's an obligation for the PCI certification to train all the people that has to be in contact direct or indirect with the EMV inside of the company. Okay, that's it. So thank you for listening. And if you have some question, please shoot.
Thank you very much, Michel. I think I share the feeling of many people again, that this is really a huge step forward. You have been working very, very hard, and this is exciting. Michel, I'm not sure, as I mentioned before, Kurt does this much better than me, taking people through the functions that we have in Zoom, such as the chat. Can you have a look at the chat with me, or maybe?
Yes, I just opened it, but when I was doing the presentation, I cannot see because it's on my tablet, and I can only see two things. Is the system conform the spirit of the new accessibility directive?
Indeed, that's the first question of Carol.
What you mean by accessibility directive? I don't understand.
Maybe Carol can join us. Maybe you can unmute for a moment, Carol. Is this a European directive? I don't hear Carol coming in, so maybe you can broaden the question to anybody that can help. Is anybody aware of the new accessibility directive and can clarify this somewhat for ourselves and Michel? Otherwise,
so I will answer to the question of my very dear friend Pierre-Paul. Who knows the answer? He has a question, but he knows already the answer. So, of course, for the moment, the EMV system of the LAN and STIP are not compatible, of course. So if you use the system on the LAN and then you use the EMV on STIP, you have to pay twice. So the jump is not working for the moment. We hope... to have this could functional maybe next year using Sensi, because this is also a very good news for all the operator and also actors of mobility. Mobib will issue a standard for the digital, so we have we are finalizing a document that is defining the Mobib in ID digital. So we're going to define an ID digital MOBIP. So today we have a standard for the MOBIP card, and we're going to have also a standard for the ID digital, meaning that is going to be used by everyone who want to play in the mobility system and want to be connected together using the Sensi platform, which are today connecting the four operator, and help us to exchange information on the card and on the validation. And we have to extend the functionality of Sensi to be able to manage the new standard for the ID digital. And the ID digital will open the door to connect the EBT platform from the LAN for the future the LAN platform and the future EBT STIP platform, and also the tech platform that will come, in order that we can extend the interoperability on the ID digital ticket. So yes, Mr. Berthiaud, that will be the dream. Your dream will be become a reality, I hope, next year or maybe in 2022. You know that development takes some time. Yes, accessibility for person with handicap. Yes, we have inside of the metro, we have a special SAS where handicapped people can pass through, and they have an EMV validator inside of the handicap on the SAS. But the handicapped people, like you say, PMR, we call them, they have a special card that they don't need to pay. So they don't have to use the EMV system because they can use all the public transport freely in Belgium.
Yeah, that's quite clear. I'm checking whether there are more questions in the chat, and that is not the case, Michel. Thank you very much for this feedback. I must say, listening to you and Dean, I see that you are on the same timelines. Maybe it would be an idea to also synchronize the communication or the marketing campaign.
This is the case. The two team are communicating. And we have already, this is for already months that we are working together, defining the marketing campaign to use the same words, the same, let's say, communication.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this is a common work group, and
yes,
we want to do that. This is clear.
Yeah, we're really aligned, and we keep in touch. The colleagues from communication have regular updates.
Yeah.
So, indeed.
Go ahead.
That sounds great. I propose to move on to the third and last presentation. So we will have a status from the three regional operators. And the next presentation will be from our colleague Renaud Terry, who will talk about the latest ticketing and payment developments at TEC. Renaud, can you join us, take over?
Yeah. Do you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. So the idea is that it's not, we're not in a launch phase like the projects that were presented before. So the idea is more to explain how TEC is planning to move forward in the coming months on m-ticketing and what our vision is, especially relating to the how we can act as an enabler for the mass ecosystem. So just to clarify, I'm Renaud Terry, so I'm head of digital for the TEC. Next slide, please. Next slide again. To give some context, we are really committed for a few years now to delivering a good digital experience for customers. We believe that it's the key to be competitive as a public transport operator. And we have already launched several phases of our digital roadmap with the implementation of our mobile app. We are launching a new version with customer account in the coming weeks. And the next step is that we want to use that customer account and that bridge that we have with the customer to enable sales and validation on smartphone. We also not only want to do that for the TEC only, but we want to use that digital system that we will build to enable sale and validation to also be accessible to the other Belgian operators, and also on a larger scale to other mass partners, public and private actors, who will also be able to use our system and our platform. Next slide, please. So as I said, we want to have a system that's fairly open. We will focus in terms of validation on a QR code specific journey. So for different reasons, especially based on what we see in terms of technology adoption for the people that travel in Wallonia. We believe that it's the best scenario for now of how to have a solution that's fairly accessible to the majority of our users. So the idea would be that people would use their smartphone to scan QR codes that are located in our vehicles. Next slide, please. And we would use the smartphone as an enabler, not only to buy tickets, but also to secure the transaction. We plan to have it accessible offline. And the idea is that the solution we have, which we are starting to implement, because we had a fairly extensive tendering process that ended last April, I believe. The idea is that it's an evolutive system. So we, for now, focus on QR code at the first stages of implementation, but we will keep track of and a watch on how customer behaviors are evolving, and we plan to be able to respond and adapt our ticketing journey on smartphone based on customer adoption. So if the trend is more towards Bluetooth or beacons, for instance, in the future, we will be able to accommodate those new use cases with our system. Next slide. So yeah, as I said, the customer journey is fairly standard for an e-ticketing journey, but we really want to be able to oversee the whole customer path from the initial act of purchase to the validation in our vehicles. As I said, it will be an online validation or validation with the QR code check. And also to have it compatible with our existing control systems and processes and with our existing backend customer service systems and processes. Next slide. So the idea is, as I said, that it will be, and it's really the vision of the tech that we want to have it as open as possible. So the following the implementation in our own system and in our own mobile app, we plan to make it accessible to other partners, to other third parties with which we will have contracts set in place. So those can be other operators, mobility integrators, mass players, or other third party which would be able to use our system and our technical stack. I will go into this later, to implement sale and validation of tech tickets in their own mobile apps. Next slide. So yeah, the idea is that we would be both media centric and account based on the in the digital environment we are setting up. So the idea is that the tickets are linked to a client and the digital ID that we would create, but they are also stored and located in the smartphone for performance considerations. And the idea is that we would be able, based on this, and as was explained later earlier, to also evolve at some later stage towards more account-based centric scenario in the future. Next slide. So yeah, just to showcase really the focus on how the platform and the system will be implemented. We have a front end that is our mobile app, which we have already developed and we are continuing to upgrade and supplement with new extra features. This will be connected to to an SDK, which will communicate with the backend, with our ticketing backend, which can in turn be open and may be made accessible to future partners through specific dedicated APIs. At the same time, this will be integrated in our other systems, so in our customer platform, in our bus location platform to check that people are really in the right zone for their specific tariffs and the fares they are trying to access. and with our payment and ERP systems. I said the key here is the backend, which can be interfaced with other actors and which will have APIs that can be made available for both the sale of tickets and the validation process. Next slide. So the key here is that we, as I said, this is really something that we've started working on in more concrete terms in late April, beginning of May. So we are still really focusing on defining all the different specific elements that would go into the solutions. For instance, the validation journey, we know that we want to have a journey based on the QR code, but based on the recent events, we are really focusing on how we can make it as safe as possible for people, taking into account the new safety measures we would need to think of when placing the QR code on the vehicle or multiple QR codes, for instance. So this is really things we are trying to think about now based on the current context. But the idea is that we would have a first rollout phase right now planned for early 2021, which would focus on simple tickets. So the really just the one, the single tickets and the multi tickets, but no abonnements for now, and no specific management of customer specific reductions, rights management, etc. So this will be a fairly simple implementation, at least in terms of range of products, but that would enable us to really target in the first stages the occasional travelers. As Michel said in his presentation, we believe that for all the customers, the Mobib card is still a good solution. And right now, the idea is really to work on the complementarity between Mobib and digital. And we will fairly quickly move forward to a more enriched implementation in which we would have which we would open access to subscriptions, to specific scenarios, to third-party payment for companies, which would have a contract with the tech, potentially based on, as I said, technology adoption to other modes of validation in the future. So this is something that we would start to implement at least for the range of products in June, and that we would continue to upgrade and enrich in the following months. And as I said, in terms of financing, this is the stage where we would think about how we could implement more different payment scenarios, such as post-payment, pay-as-you-go, etc., based on the same technological stack and we're on the same validation process, but by bypassing the need to have prepaid ticket and settling it after the travel. Next slide, please. So as I said, this is still a provisional planning since we're still in the definition and specification phase. But the idea is that we would have a first, we are still working on the setting up of the backend and the SDK right now. And we plan to have the tests and really our own UATs in a fairly extensive process, because we need to work on the whole validation, not only on the customer side, but also on our end, since we're talking about payment, about collecting fees, etc. We need to make sure that everything is okay also with our financial systems, etc. So it will be a fairly extensive process that would start in the last trimester of 2020, and that would enable us to launch early 2021, as I said. And at the same time, in parallel, while we're working on the testing of the first version, we will start also trying to frame and define the second phase, especially based on subscription tickets. Next slide. And as I said, yes, so this is a discussion that we are really trying to open up with a broader ecosystem, trying to be as open as possible on how we move forward on this journey. So we are open to, once we have a fairly clearer idea of what our solution will be, on how we will implement it and on what the target customer journey will be, we are open to start discussing implementation by other actors in September. We will also at this stage work on a contract framework because we do not have it now. So we will start working on how we want to make it, to make a fair contract and a fair collaboration framework for everyone. So those are aspects that we will start working in September.
Thank you very much, Renaud. I'm joining again, and I hope you stay with us for a few questions. I think everybody should have found the chat by now that we encourage as a medium for popping up some questions. And while this is happening, maybe I can have a go at it, Renaud. Also very excited, frankly, when I look at your presentation. Thank you very much, by the way, also for sharing your digital roadmap with us. Last year, as you recall, Michel Junot had done so as well, and maybe this is something that we can ask from the different operators as a follow-up or for the minutes of this call. I see a question pop up of Bernard, Bernard van der Landen. Do you also plan to propose in future CMAV ticketing as the LAN and a STIP? I think it's an obvious question. Renaud, maybe you can handle it.
Yeah, so for now we are focusing really on the smartphone side of ticketing. We believe that we still need to work on the complementarity between MOBIB card and digital smartphone validation. So those will be our priorities in the coming months, or at least even the next 1 or 2 coming years. So this is not a priority for us for now, at least. Things are always subject to change, but right now our focus is on those projects and on delivering them as best as we can for the client. And if there is a coming need or if there is more demand from the public and the customers for CMV, we would think about it then.
It's interesting. I recall from last workshop that actually all four operators indicated an interest in CMV. While I look with you for more question, maybe one last one for me, Renaud. You mentioned that you were planning to share your platform with the other operators. Can you be a little bit more specific about what kinds of offer that it would enable? So maybe going back to the cooperation between the four operators.
Oh, yes. So that's a very specific topic. Yeah. So we want to at least, we're still working on it on the technical end. So we have ongoing discussions between the four operators to see how well we could work on the different exchanges of data and to make a smooth interoperable journey. But the idea is that our platform could, yes, support different validations among different operators in Belgium. And that's what we're trying to implement. And we're still, as I said, in the early technical discussions of if that will be feasible based on all the technical specific specifications that the operators have. But that is the end journey, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, very, very clear. While we're rounding up, Renaud, maybe one last obvious question. We are, as I said, very excited about the big progress that all the three regional operators made. Very sensitive as well, of course, about the cooperation between operators. Happy to hear and see that BMC, and Hida Lathauer is also with us. So any kind of digital roadmap also from a BMC perspective, of course, is something that we are very interested in. And maybe as a follow-up, we will ask if there's something that you can share with us, one or two slides, so that we can add it to the minutes. I see that the presentation has disappeared. Expect Kurt, who's struggling with some connectivity, apparently will come back to it.
No, I just prepared the Mentimeter so that if we are ready for this discussion, I can just share my screen again with the Mentimeter and the questions.
Okay, so of course, to everybody, I continue to invite you to pop up questions in the chats and give us your feedback and thoughts. Going back to the operators and the group, and also Renaud, who was looking at the September timeframe for partnership discussions. We have, of course, also the ITS Congress coming up, a virtual Congress this time on the 24th of September. And we would, of course, be happy to help out wherever this is possible. These common roadmaps and also for the viewpoint of the four operators, for instance, together with BMC, is certainly also something that is close to our heart. So Renaud, for the moment, I think I can thank you, and I propose that we move to the last part of the talk of the webinar. And in that talk, and I hope it it works, as you saw, we had a bit of a hiccup before, we would like to try once more actually to use the Menti for essentially two questions. And the first question is, we are with you looking, I think, excited to the progress between the public transport operators on ticketing and payment interoperability. And so we would like to give one more try, either through Menti or through the chat, on what you consider the most important developments, actually, as far as ticketing and payment is concerned. So we see a couple of comments coming through, and please join us. So I think you will have noticed with us through the presentation of Dean, of Michel, and of Renaud, not just common language popping up, but also MaaS being a cornerstone of the presentations. I'm personally very excited about that. I remember Renaud of the five examples that he gave on using ticketing and payment of Tech 3 were via MaaS operators. So we see the answers coming up, and we see indeed that elements such as interoperability across the four operators, we do respect, of course, the regional autonomy, but I think that everybody understands that this interoperability is crucial. I think we all remember also the question and suggestion of Pierre-Paul Berthiaud. Imagine paying for public transport once, using it across the four operators, and it being capped at the same time on a daily basis via the operators' apps or via MaaS applications. That would really be very exciting. So I look at you, at what is coming through, quite amazing, as you can see, elements such as subscription reductions, the customer experience being put first, very rich, GDPR, of course, in the background. But I think I consider this as an really outburst with two key messages, that cooperation across the operators and also cooperation in a public-private perspective with mass providers and all the mobility providers is really key. So you will not be surprised that I say that we will add this to the minutes that we will send out shortly in response to an earlier question. We will also, of course, I share with you all the presentations very shortly. So please stay with us for maybe one last question while this is still popping up. And this is the question that is zooming in maybe on this interoperability issue. What is needed to enable payment across all operators, public transport operators and beyond? Obviously, elements such as special mass tickets, also elements such as integrated fares would be, of course, very interesting. I look with you as the answers pop up. Interesting that I think that today we witnessed in the presentations a couple of things. First of all, the big progress that the operators are making also in cooperation. Secondly, I would say how sensitive that they have become to mass providers. And to private mass initiatives. And thirdly, also in this context, I refer to a comment that Tom Geerts was making, the mechanisms that Flanders is starting. Renaud was mentioning it as well in his slides on how to actually get to a stable, what he calls afsprakenkader or soft regulation, as we see pop up here as well for fair and transparent open ticketing and payment. A big one that is coming up here, as well as we can see, is a common ticketing organism. I think that he, the Lathauer of BMC, may smile at this one. So again, I would say a rich feedback. A dose of political courage as well. We had actually clear vision coming in as a first for a long time. Now it's been put maybe even a little bit bolder, namely a common ticketing organism across the operators. So I think very rich feedback with you. I am looking as well to the chat for further comments. I think we all sense that we are coming towards the end of this this webinar, but I would like as a closing remark maybe two elements. I know that Kurt still has a couple of messages coming along. There is also a very interesting survey that we're running together with Deloitte that we would like to quickly come back to. But before giving the floor to Kurt, I would quickly like to go back to our speakers and give them the chance, and that is more specifically Dean and Michel and Renaud, to maybe share with us some last comments if they would like that. So Dean and Michel, Renaud, are you still with us? Is there something you would like to share as a result of this this last exercise?
Dean here. For me, it was very interesting as I'm fairly new to the LAN and the, also the sector. So I'm taking all the remarks that are given during this last point with me and to my colleagues as well. So for me, it was very interesting to see all the players in the field and their vision on the subject. So for me, it was very informative.
Michel, great to have had you as well. Any last messages you would like to share? Either you have to unmute or you may not be able to join us anymore. So last attempt is then via Renaud. Renaud, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Any feedback you would like to share with us?
No, again, as Dean said, I think it was really interesting to have the feedback from all kinds of actors. And as I said, this pushes us even more to keep building this platform and this open environment that we are trying to create, and to also focus on the interoperable aspects, as Guy and Michel also can attest.
Yeah. So before handing over to the floor to Kurt, I think that on behalf of everybody on the call, I can give you a really huge thumbs up, Dean and Michel and Renaud. In a way, you are our heroes towards account-based ticketing and a thriving mass market. So we would, if possible, I'm sure, give you a big applause and cheer you on. And as I mentioned, if on one slide you can share your digital road map with us, that is also the case, of course, for the colleagues of NMBS and CCB, Arnaud Wattier and his team, then we can share this with the minutes. So I will now give the floor to Kurt, that will, apart from the Deloitte survey, hopefully still also say something about our Congress of the 24th of September. Kurt.
Yes, absolutely. So first of all, this survey that we launched 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago we had a webinar focusing on the situation after Corona, how mass and mobility would look like after Corona. So this is just a small reminder that this survey is still open, and we're happy to receive all your input by the end of next week. Like Peter said, so this was one of our webinars. We have other interesting ones coming up. I also should mention that the one of next week will be postponed, since this has to do with a project running in Leuven and a few other cities regarding third-party payment. And this project is currently postponed also by the end, by Corona, of course, to the end of this year. So we are looking for a new date. But before summer, we have a final workshop focusing on the end user, the mobility budget, end user experiences. So this is also still possible to inscribe. And of course, later this year, we have our virtual ITS Congress on the 24th of September, and also some other meetings, possibly virtual, will follow later this year. Like we said at the beginning, we will share later today the link to all presentations, participant list, and also the audio file you will receive in through your mailbox. So thank you all for participating, and hope to see you soon. Bye.
From my side, thank you. Great to see so many known faces and names. Take care, and see you very soon.